Welcome to Fright School. Are you ready? Class is in session.
Happy Halloween, Fright School! Happy Halloween, Joseph!
Happy Halloween, Joshua!
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yay! We have made it through a whole nother 31 days of horror of Halloween. Fright's spooky season. It's coming to an end. I'm already feeling very depressed. I mean, I know we have a few more days for, like, you know, other like death culture, you know, rituals and things. I think Dia de los Muertos ends November 1st or 2nd.
I never remember. I think it's the 1st. I think it's the 1st.
So there's still things, obviously, you know, the veil is not shut yet. It is thinning again, but we still have a few days. But for now, the official Halloween. This is our official Halloween show, our 5-year anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, here we are.
Going into year 6.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It's bonkers. And there's still so much to cover.
I know, we've scratched the surface.
Yeah. That's the lovely thing about horror.
Horror, indeed.
Excuse me, I was having a sip of beverage.
Oh, yes, yes. Your lemon, is that a lemon lime?
It's a, yeah, it's like the water, though.
Oh, like it's a lemon lime seltzer.
Yes. Delicious. Please sponsor us. all right. Yes, so we're, going to chat today. Talk about a little bit about our last 5 years of doing this. What's been up, what's been going on. Dear listener, make sure you stay tuned because towards the end of this episode, you're going to find out how you can win an autographed copy of Cassandra Elvira Peterson's memoir, Yours Cruelly, Elvira. We're doing that for Halloween. So stick around. Joe. Oh my gosh, American Horror Story. Did you finish it? It's over.
I did finish it.
What'd you think overall?
What a journey they did take us on.
Double feature, Red Tide / Death Valley. It was a whole thing this year.
I was trying to see if there was some way it was going to connect, but it didn't. They were their own things.
Yeah, I was really kind of annoyed by that because I thought they had a really good opportunity to like go back to Asylum and kind of talk about the experiments during that season. Because the aliens, they like made those children smarter, right? And they like, you know, did things. They made them like, you know, have powers and such. So I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool way to like link all of this together. And then they didn't really do that. And then I also was kind of disappointed. Like, I guess we could have had a couple more episodes with the aliens because, I mean, when you talk about like American horror, like Roswell is one of those like cultural memories that has just really permeated a whole lot of stuff, you know, and it's given us Area 51, that kind of idea, the X-Files, Alien, I'm not going to mention every fucking alien property ever, but there's a lot there to mine. And I was just kind of disappointed in the overall end of it. I was just like, wow, you had a lot that you could have really kind of played with and worked with. And they gave it to us like in the titles, you know, they had like the creature, the baby with like the long elongated head, very alien. There was stuff in there with like tentacles and things remind me of like Fire in the Sky. That's another great, alien film, or I mean, I enjoy it. And so I was let down.
Yeah. As you said, Roswell, Area 51, it's the root of like that distrust of the government that is something that is very American. I mean, it's very a lot of other places, but like it's very specifically American when you think about those things and the lies that the government tells. And so it would have been more effective if they just split it down the middle. you know, it was if we had like 4 and 4 or 5 and 5 and just made it an even. But because it was only 4 episodes, like I just, why? You know what I mean? Yeah, like they could have, they could have
a lot in.
Exactly. They could have done a lot more with Red Tide than they could have, than they were trying to accomplish. I feel like, Death Valley was really kind of like the to continue the whole, the campness of it, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the whole thing was camp, and it was a little bit of a I'm hesitant to say that it was a letdown fully, because I overall did enjoy, you know, I had a good time. I still watched it. It yeah. gave us a chance. The times that I was able to attend, it did give yeah. us a chance to connect with people.
I loved the whole group that came over with us. That was super fun. I think we're going to continue. We're looking at some other things to watch. I think we're going to try to watch that Resident Alien on Sci-Fi on yeah. Wednesdays now. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to kind of continue going, doing that. On Wednesdays, I've enjoyed the group,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeping the creepiness going.
You gotta love our creepiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I'm not like totally let down, because I had a really fun couple of months hanging out with everybody and seeing everyone each week. It was just nice to have that back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never anymore, like after Coven, I've just kind of like, I don't put any expectations. I just kind of take what comes, you know, it's like, well, that was what they did this year. Maybe next year will be better. Maybe it'll be worse. You know, maybe it'll be the same. I'm just happy that it's a tradition that we keep doing.
I realized something though, watching this season.
Yeah.
Was the fact that like, I am not really horrified by alien sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, that's not doing it for you.
Yeah, it didn't. It was because it was heavy on the sci-fi horror of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about like Alien, right? Like Ripley Scott's Alien, there, the horror is a lot of it is theater of the mind. And the fact that they are in space and there's an extraterrestrial, like that's all incidental to the plot. Like it could be any monster. It could be anything, any situation. This was like so uniquely like a plot line about an alien invasion.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to mine anything else. Like, is this invasion anxiety? Like what is, you know, all of this stuff. I'm like, no, it was completely surface about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think technophobia a little bit can come into play, but yeah, for the most part, it was just, yeah, a straightforward, well, I mean, yeah. as straightforward as they get. I'm not that it wasn't completely convoluted over, you know, trying to mm-hmm. do, because they were jumping time a lot, and yeah. because some people weren't aging, and some were, it was like, wait, what is happening? You know,
And I actually appreciated, like, I love the time hopping of it all, but again, it's just like, it's that Ryan Murphy, like, gay camp sensibility of, yeah. like, also like Mike Vogel as Kennedy was inspired casting. I was like, who did they get to play that guy? But again, like it's the Marilyn is, you know, they kill Kennedy because of aliens. Like Nixon's a fall guy because of aliens, like all of it kind of this whole yeah. thing about like everything's related to aliens. And then like all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that the most insidious figure that has some kind of redemption story at the end, but not really, is Mamie Eisenhower.
Yeah, that whole sequence of events and just her in general. I mean, it was delightful because it's Sarah mm-hmm. Paulson, but I was like, what?
Yeah, Mamie Neil McDonough as Dwight Eisenhower was inspired casting. Like the mm-hmm. whole, all of it was very inspired. And again, like it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can totally like every mystery of American history from like the late 19th century, late 20th century is all due to aliens, right? Amelia Earhart, Area 51,
right?
The technology boom.
Yeah. Well, Area 51's always been, I think, kind of, well, not always, but, you know, at least in my consciousness, has always been associated with aliens. The Marilyn Monroe thing, there's a book that just came out, I think, in September of this year that is is about that conspiracy. I guess that's been bubbling out there. So there have been conspiracies that JFK was killed because of aliens, that Marilyn Monroe knew. So that's why she was, you know, murdered or assassinated or whatever, you know, word you want to use. So it's not that they made those things up. They do exist in the consciousness. I just think they could have made a better use of it, like maybe expanded it. Cause I think that's, you know, that's interesting. There's something there, but it was all of like 5 minutes in the show. Cause they just didn't have that much to spare.
And if we're, you know, Ryan Murphy has admittedly said that these all take place in the same universe.
Yeah.
So what we're now supposed to believe as longtime fans of the show is that there are three alien races that walk among us.
And maybe more. They also could have explored that a little bit more, because that's a big thing with like ufology, is like the grays and the reptilians, and that, you know, they're like at war. And so it's like the, I don't know.
Wait, is it, that's a thing?
Yeah.
I thought he was just pulling from two separate kind of mythologies.
No, there's ufology out there, like people who believe that, yeah, they're both among us. The reptilians are the ones, I think, again, I am not a conspiracy theorist in this way, so I don't really know too much. I'm kind of going off of like a friend who was talking about these things, but I've read about them, but not recently. This was not meant to be, you know, a researched alien moment right here. So forgive me. I'm sure there are people who know more about this than I do. But yeah, I think the reptilians are the ones that need the adrenochrome. And they're the ones that are like, you know, the
Oh, Democrats. This is the QAnon stuff.
Yeah. Well, but this is before. This predates QAnon. You know, it predates even like the History Channel alien guy. Like, I mean, these are things that have been kind of around. I think even the X-Files probably played with some of this in the later seasons. And maybe even early. I don't know. I can't, you know, it's so much to keep track of. But yeah, so that's like a thing. Like the grays are probably like benevolent in some way. Like they want to help us, and that eventually they will, like some of that stuff of like that they're here among us, like, yes, they are experimenting on us, but like it's for our own good kind of stuff. And they're going to like reveal some great, you know, thing. There will be some day that they will reveal themselves and that it will be to our benefit. But then the reptilians are the bad guys and they're like eating, you know, children and doing other things. Again, don't quote me on all of that, because I got them mixed up. Maybe the grays are the bad guys and the reptilians are the good guys. I think the reptilian thing, though, they've been here for like centuries. Like they were like here before humans or something.
Yeah, like Scientology, like Xenu.
Yeah, kind of. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure it all plays into that thing, but actually, I thought the reptilians were named something else, though.
It's the Xenu race, right? Because that's like reptilian as well.
Alien Wars, Greys versus Reptilians. I don't know.
Greys versus Reptilians.
Nordics. You just look up this on Google and you're going to get a billion different, you know, things. Wow, we went down a rabbit hole. Like,
I know we haven't even
together
talked about.
Right here. Our listeners are like, "What is happening? This is what it looks like." So I feel like I need to like start doing drugs.
Our listeners are like, "We've been listening to this for 5 years."
This is it. No more of this.
We're done. We are
14
done.
Minutes in.
We have had it officially.
Officially. Drag. Anyways, whatever. We can't do this. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't be this buried deeply into this alien shit.
Yeah, let's move on. Anyways. So
5 years of fright school. We got a few minutes to chat to try to sum it all up. No. I don't even know. I didn't even have a plan. I just wanted to be like, happy anniversary, and we keep it rolling. Is there anything that you were thinking of, like when you look back on this time?
I mean, a lot has happened. I think I mentioned in another episode, but like,
you've become
school,
a woman.
We've become a woman. Yes, Annie, we've made us a woman. I think it'll be interesting because Fright School will have come to its own, or no, Fright School is a cultural artifact from the Trump era. From are you okay? Do you need like
yes, artifact from the Trump era. Go on. Fright
sorry,
school.
Joshua that's was amazing. Distracting me with
yeah, I'm sorry. I have it's a back scratcher, but it looks like
it's bad
claw.
Enough that he can't comprehend, you know, the words that I say to him because I'm not subtitled. So he chooses to distract himself.
That looks like I'm on a spaceship.
Oh my gosh. This is 5 years, right? This is what the 5 years is like.
Alrighty. Yes. Yeah, cultural artifact from the Trump era. Go. That's the name of this episode for sure.
Yes. Because you know, when that was something that people were talking about in 2016 in November, you know, like what are the cult and as we were heading into the inauguration of Trump in 17, it's like what are the cultural artifacts? What is going to be the defining cultural moments of the Trump era? And oddly enough, it was a lot of representation, but at the same time, you know, it was a lot of horrific things. And so we're a part of that. We are officially a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we, wow. That's kind of crazy to think that we did that like throughout all of the Trump presidency.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember the early episodes where we like were trying not to mention it, but it just couldn't be. We yeah. just couldn't not
we kept waiting
it.
To see what the horror would look like. And now we're here. Now we're here in the future time where he is no longer. We're seeing kind of what horror people are making. They're invading the Capitol. So, hey, look at that. Insurrection. Yeah. That is the horror. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. When I think about it, it's like, I think more about like, we have had some really amazing conversations. We've had some really bonkers conversations. You know, we have pulled some
stunts, shows, shenanigans.
Some tenuous grasps of meaning out of some real interesting films. We've also had, you know, I mean, I think also with Fright School, even though not recently because of like the pandemic and all, but I also always think of Fright School in terms of like guests, and we've had some really incredible people on over time that have been on the show that we've become friends with as well, that we've met at, you know, cons and, you know, the fans that we have chatted with and know. I mean, it's just like, we have a cool community, like the Fright School GSA community.
Yes. Fright School alum, our Fright School Alumni Association.
Right. Yeah. So it's just, I just think that's what I think about, you know, what Fright School has like really brought into my life, you know, besides getting to see you on a very regular basis, something that I think.
I know. And how's that been for you?
It shocks us both at times, probably. When we think about like our early days of meeting, like I did not envision that you and I would be like, we would spend like 5 years to like, I mean, is this your longest relationship
besides the one I have with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Forgive me. But this is quite, I mean, you know, it's quite a commitment, Joe. It's quite a thing that we have done over 5 years.
I know. You've committed to me and I have committed to you.
You have. And you have been committed to a sanitarium.
Yes. Yeah. And against my will.
And I am running it and it's only going to get worse.
Lana, Bobana, Banana, Vanna, Bobana.
Full circle moment.
Yes. It's also been fun to see kind of where... you know, like how, you know, we are aged queers. We are getting older. And so,
well, I mean, one of us is,
yes, the one who has not sold his soul. And it's not the one you think. And it's been interesting to see kind of like, you know, okay, we're, you know, we record now during the day where we're never, we like, it is rare for us to record in the evening. Things that like, technically things that I've not, I didn't know how to do, and always wanted to do, like I figured out a way to do it. Yeah. Whether or not I'm doing it well is a whole different story. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, remote recording is a thing. We've been able to chat. Like, I mean, if it was not for the pandemic and for everyone having to pivot, we probably, it would have been forever to talk to Justine in Italy.
Right. That's true.
To talk to our friends around the country and, you know, connect with them. So, you know, thanks the internet for that.
That is true. Yeah. You have definitely learned quite a bit and, you know, and become really, you know, really good at like producing the show, putting it for what it is, you know, for what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's not like we have musical numbers or anything. Although I'm sure
not yet.
We did.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's the next 5-year plan.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like this would be the year that we would like manifest our 5-year plan. Right. So like, or have that manifested. So have we accomplished anything?
Well, I think that, you know, COVID killed some of what we had planned. So we'll see going into, obviously we have plans coming up in the next year for cool stuff that, I don't know. I mean, I want to be excited about, but I'm also like COVID. We'll see.
Yeah. COVID's the wild card.
Yeah. You know, so I am hoping that like some stuff will, some of the things we have planned will come to fruition. I know that, you know, some of our East Coast buddies, like the Jersey Ghouls Horror Movie Night, you know, Matt, Scott, Brian, Marissa, Jackie, all of them, the Abeats Creeps. You know, I am hoping that we'll be able to go and see them. I do miss them.
We'll be reunited once more.
Yeah. I hope to see Chelsea again. You know, Sam would be lovely to see again. Mike. I mean, there's just so many amazing, like, you know, and then all of just like all of the incredible people that we have in our lives that, you know, have popped on the show. I just want to see people again and go to cons, you know. Take our little ragtag team, Ashley and Brian, you know, out to some con and, you know, work ourselves to death.
Work ourselves to within an inch of sanity.
Yeah. You know, want to do all that again. So hopefully that will be 2022 will be about a return to that stuff.
Yeah.
And more panels. I want us to do more panels. I want us to do more, you know, interviews with cool people. Just all that. That's what I want to manifest. Manifest it. I'm going to make a vision board.
Yes, make that vision board. That horror vision board.
Horror vision board. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all. I just want to get back to normal and get back to our, you know, where I think a lot of people were in that space. You know, we're seeing, you know, a good sense of momentum. And COVID just kind of took a hammer to that, you know, to getting out there and doing cons and such. And that's all. That's what I want to do more of. I want to go out there and meet more people and chat and just continue spreading the horror.
I mean, I think we're in a place where we can move forward cautiously, right? Move forward boldly, forward cautiously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and this has been, you know, this has been a treat and a dream, Joshua, to spend as much time with you as I've gotten to spend.
Absolutely.
If you had told me 10 years ago, I think I've said this, like if you had told me 10 years ago that I would be doing this with you and spend as much time as I have with you, I would have laughed in your face and and said, okay, Jan. But it's been a very distinct pleasure, and I just want you to know that, you know, not to get all sentimental in your ass, but I am gonna do it. Like, you know, your influence on my life is definitely felt.
Aww. Well, right back at you. I adore you. It's so much fun. You're like the perfect foil. So whatever we continue doing, however we continue.
I'm Reynolds Wrap. I'm the Reynolds rep to you. Yes. I'm the perfect foil.
There we go. Well, I mean, and I mean that both, like, both ways. I think that, yeah. you know, it's like, that's why this works. Again, you know, and I, that's like the best feedback. So to take it to our dear listeners whose earballs we invade on a weekly basis, when we have our shit together, or it's not a school holiday. Mm-hmm. I love hearing from people that are just like, even if they don't know the movie that we're talking about or they've not seen it, they still come just to like listen to you and I chat and listen to you and I be friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that's amazing, you know? Yeah. And I wish all those people could be in the room every single time with us, of course.
I know.
Can
you imagine doing more lives? Like, I would love to do more live shows, live episodes with you.
I would too. I would really love that. And that is something that I would like to explore that. I would like to explore a visual element for the show.
I know.
Not all the time.
You serve so many looks. It's a shame that people don't get to see them.
So maybe that's something. Here we are doing pre-production right on here, but then maybe people will hold us to it, you know? Cause I've enjoyed that when we've done like the live shows with like, you know, we've jumped on dead stuff with Geekscape, you know, with Matt and them, you know, with Horror Movie Night, with Jersey Ghouls, we've done our own live stuff. We did trivia. We've done some cool things, like that, but I would like to do more of that. I think that that's what I'm going to put on the vision board. I'm going to draw a little image of YouTube. Or TikTok. Should we do TikTok? We'll do 1 minute fright schools.
Yeah, we'll be those people who speak really fast about something.
Yeah.
This is your 1 minute fright school about queer horror.
Yeah, I'm just going to show you like some horrific death scene and you can just respond to it. But no, truly, you know, I mean, the show would not, it wouldn't work. Like when I think about like other people, like, you know, if I did this with somebody who was as like weird as me or as horror as me, it wouldn't be as interesting. I think that you make me more interesting and you make this show, you really, I mean, at the end of the day, the show is for people who, you know, or was crafted around the idea of people who have not seen these movies before, who have not engaged with horror. Mm-hmm. So you make the show work, Joe. Plus, you do all the actual work of editing and putting it all together. I just show up and gab and talk ad nauseum.
Is this where we jump into our parody of You Make Love and Fun, but it's about our podcast? You Make Podcast and Fun?
No, we're not going to do that. Not today. But this is where we will stop and take a quick break. As always, I don't even know what who will be coming, up in the little advertisement part. But we will be right back to do a little chat for Halloween about Pumpkinhead.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze.
My gaze at the males.
Hi-o! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
Ooh, you make podcasting fun.
Recording, Joe.
I was trying to get you to do it again.
No. All right.
During the
Welcome
break, we did come up with our podcasting parody of You Make Love and Fun.
Oh my gosh. All right. But you're getting so sued by Christine McVie. And they need the money. The Fleetwood Mac people. They have no money. If you did, you know.
No, it's all going to divorce lawyers and blow, right?
Right. Like, okay, so y'all, today we're taking back to 1988. Happy Halloween, 1988. Pumpkinhead, look at that steel case.
Oh, look at that.
Isn't that pretty?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. This is... This was more because it's Halloween. We should watch something fun, goofy. I'm sad that you and I did not get to watch it together. I actually was really looking forward to that moment. But whatever. It's life is life. But I just thought it would be fun to do. I think this is like a... I've always enjoyed watching this around Halloween time. I was kind of surprised we hadn't done it before. But it's also not like a super deep film. I mean, it kind of is what it is, which is, you know, like I said, 1988, firmly we're in America, American horror, directed by Stan Winston. So that's of note, obviously, FX master Stan Winston, written by Mark Patrick Carducci, Gary Guarani. Story from Carducci, Winston, and a Richard Weinman. Based on this poem by Ed Justice called Pumpkinhead. And we've got in a role that... this movie probably would not work without him. I probably wouldn't like it as much if Lance Henriksen weren't here. More importantly, you know, Mia Bialik is in it for a second as a child. And that just gives it... that really gives it an air.
It just rounds it out, doesn't it?
Other stars, John DeCino, Jeff East, Carrie Remsen. Who's that? Who are they?
Who are they? We don't know them.
Well, they must be somebody's there because their Wikipedia pages link to other pages, actual pages about them. So they must have other credits, Joe. Let's not be so quick to dismiss.
Or they were bored on a Saturday and their agents
made their
were
own.
Like, yeah, they...
do we have a... we should make a Wikipedia page.
We can't make a Wikipedia page. Well, we can make a Wikipedia page, but like we cannot edit the page if it's about us. You know that thing? It's like if you're... because Nicole Byer has a whole thing about how like she's been trying to get some information changed and she cannot edit her own page.
Oh, well, then
this subject is not allowed.
Well, then we will... we'll just wait for somebody else to make a page.
Exactly.
Anyways, we're already off the rails here. So this film, you know, it's another one about grief, vengeance. I also kind of include it here because I do think it's sort of folk horror-ish in the sense that it's like a fairy tale. You know, it's very much like a kind of a Grimm's fairy tale. Like, you know, you get what you ask for in the form you deserve, in a way. It's kind of that old school, like, you know, the evil stepsisters get their eyeballs, like, eaten by crows kind of fairy tale, you know?
I thought you included it because it's folk horror because this reminds you of your folks, your ancestors from the hills of Appalachia.
Oh, is that why? There was some woods in it.
Yes, there was some woods.
There's some woods, so it must be folk horror. It's rural.
It's white people versus white people, so...
It is very that. You know, I don't really know if this really applies for folk horror, but I just felt it kind of went into that. We have been talking about fairy tales. This is also kind of a nice... you know, middle for that, because we still have a couple more units to cover of horror inspired by specific fairy tales. Not this, per se. But we got Ed Harley, that's Lance Henriksen. He's a widower. He's trying to be, you know, he's raising his son, single dad here. A bunch of city kids come. Bad things happen.
Teenagers.
Child.
We're supposed to believe they're teenagers.
Right, but they're like 40, like all teenagers in 80s movies. No, they're not that, but you know, they're a little... they're rough. It is what it is. The 80s were hard on everybody.
They look like they're... it's an AARP commercial, and they're supposed to be teenagers.
You know, but one of them, they run over poor little Billy Boy, and they kill him. And the dad, he seeks vengeance from the witch Haggis, who I adore.
What a great name for a witch, right?
That's wonderful. Haggis. And she helps him get that vengeance by resurrecting the demon, Pumpkinhead, who then goes after after these awful Sharons. But, you know, Ed's got to pay the price for that vengeance. Joe, what did you think upon... This was the first time you've ever seen Pumpkinhead, correct?
This is the first time I've ever seen Pumpkinhead. This will also be the last time I ever see Pumpkinhead.
Not true.
well, I mean, I guess as long as I know you, it'll always be there. I mean, you know...
It's always a possibility that I may put
steel,
it on.
That steel case Blu-ray of
it's
Pumpkinhead.
Beautiful. I mean, come on. You can't even. You can't.
Oh my gosh.
It.
What vinegar syndrome, like, sale did you get that?
I think this was Scream Factory, actually.
Okay.
From, which is like the subsidiary of Shout Factory.
Mm-hmm.
So their horror imprint. Yeah, it was from them. They do really, I like a lot of their special editions. I have quite a few of them. I think that I have the steelbook that they did for Elvira. I think that I don't have the steelbook for The Craft. I don't know if they did one for The Craft, but I think they also did the steel or the collectible. We don't need to get into all this. Point is, Joe, what did you think of Le Pumpkinhead?
Le Pumpkinhead?
Yeah, the French. That's the French.
Le Pumpkinhead. what is it? What would it be in French? Do you know? Do you know the word for pumpkin?
I was just trying to think. French for pumpkin. This is just going to tell me. French pumpkin soup. Do you want that?
No.
I wonder what that's like.
Well, while you figure that out, while
I
you
probably look, would like that better than French onion soup. It's a yes. Citrouille. So that doesn't. That's kind of weird because it would be like tête de citrouille.
Yes.
Citrouille. Oh man. Oh, there's
so,
also le poteron. I'm not sure which would be more.
Where's I mean, is
friend?
That like
need,
a...
I need to call my French friend and say Pumpkinhead in
yes,
French.
Yes, Marie.
She's going to call... say, quit calling me.
Is her name like Marie? Is she from Marseille?
Pumpkinhead, Joe. What did you think of Pumpkinhead?
You know I hated it because I'm like barely want to talk about it. Look,
you hated it.
I mean, I didn't hate. I mean, like, was it like the dumbest movie ever? Yes. Should I give it more reverence? Should I give it does it get a little bit more consideration because we haven't done a lot of creature features, right? Because Pumpkinhead would count as a creature.
So glad
right?
you mentioned that because that was one of the things I was going to say.
I think, and this just goes to show how where my mind goes. The whole time, and my chief complaint of Pumpkinhead is that his head does not actually resemble a pumpkin. That is the chief complaint. I mean, he goes to a pumpkin patch, and the head, like, it barely resembles. It looks more like one of those types of, like, squash. It's not, I mean, and pumpkin, I guess, is technically a type of gourd, right? But it, like, I was expecting, like, more pumpkin.
You wanted him to look like that Return to Oz pumpkin Jack or whatever.
Again, also have never seen it.
Really? Oh my gosh. Well, we'll have to watch.
That's the Firouza Balk movie, right? Yeah, yeah. I've never seen that. Yeah, no. I wanted like an actual pumpkin head. Like I was thinking like the Kool-Aid Man, but it's a pumpkin, right? Like that's what I was expecting.
I was imagining this giant pumpkin like kicking through a wall, like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Hey, pumpkin head. Oh yeah. And then it comes in and, you know, slices their throats for vengeance because they are marked. Yeah, I did not get that. I did. That was the chief complaint. The whole time I'm watching this, I was like, the head does not look like a pumpkin.
Yeah, you were over it from then. You were like, turn this shit off. Where's the pumpkin?
It also felt like I was watching like a deodorant commercial from the 90s. Like it was a very 90s movie. It was a lot of like, you know, like it had like
a 90s movie set in the 80s or made in the 80s.
Exactly. I was like, it just had that 90s. So it was ahead of its time. We can say that.
Right? Apparently,
you know, open jean shirts to reveal like tank tops underneath. Plus like the photo vest like, because you know you're going on an excursion, so you must have your utility photo vest. A dirt bike moment. A man that is, you know, vaguely Latinx on parole.
That's true. Yeah. He's ain't supposed to be causing troubles in places.
I know.
He's already in enough trouble. Yeah. Yeah, that's another reason I did kind of, I'm glad that you mentioned the creature feature, because we haven't done a whole lot of movies with monsters, of like monsters.
We did actual monsters, not human monsters.
Yeah. So yeah, I did kind of want to bring that in, because I thought that was, you know, a fun element of it. Like I was saying, it also has, you know, conversations of grief and, you know, loss, vengeance. It's got a witch, the demon. Yeah, it's got a lot going on in it, you know? So I thought it'd be a fun Halloween spooky movie to put you through. But you didn't even think about that, did you, Joe? You didn't even think that Joshua was just trying to, like, help you have a spooky Halloween.
I mean, Joshua, every day with you is a spooky Halloween. So, you know, I appreciate your consideration, but it really made me want to, like, watch Trick or Treat afterwards. Wow. Because Sam, yeah, in Trick or Treat, an actual pumpkin head. That's what I wanted.
I see.
I wanted a pumpkin that's, like, chomping people. I didn't want this, like, you know, weird. It was like a stick. It was like a giant, like, stick bug. That from hell, like,
that's pretty good. A stick bug from hell.
Yeah.
I did, like, I don't, like, see, this is why if we had watched it together, I'd been curious. Like, did you notice how, like, how the face of it becomes more and more like Lance Henriksen's?
Yeah. Like, I picked up on it. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was. They painted that with the broadest of brushes, where it's like, okay, you know, you can get in its way. Like when Haggis is like, you know, ultimately, you're delaying the inevitable. Like, you're just making happen what is always what's supposed to happen. And the shot at the end with the necklace is great. Like, I totally get that.
Okay.
And I figured, and for me, I was just like, okay, so why is this guy who is a name, like, that's a get for this movie, Lance Henriksen is for this movie. Why is he in this if not to either become or somehow become or transmorph into the pumpkin head? What, yeah, is it? What is it? Les Citron Tête? Is that what we're calling him?
I do think Citri.
Oh, Citri. Citron is lemon, right? So did I just say lemonhead?
Yeah, lemonhead. That's something else. But be tet. That would be first. You would say a head of pumpkin. Most likely is how that would be translated. Anyways. Oh,
le Citri? What is it? Le tete de Citri? Like,
Citri. I think is how it would be said. But listen, why are we doing this to ourselves?
We're not making a good case for the next 5 years. We really aren't.
No, we're really not. Not with this one. Again, I thought it would be kind of fun just to, like, watch it together.
You're not having fun? I'm having a great time. But
yeah, no, this is super fun. It's just like the set of Pumpkinhead. Apparently, they had a really good time on it. Stan Winston was, like, into, like, you know, making sure people were happy. Yep.
Well, see, so you know how, like, when you go to somebody's play, like a friend's play, and it's bad, and it's really bad. Like, mm-hmm, one of the things you say is, like, the cost. You talk about the costumes.
Yeah.
But the one that I love hearing is, like, oh, you guys look like you had a lot of fun up there. Like, that's what this looked like. They look like they actually did have a lot of fun. I love the whole, like, holding the cross up to her face. And was just like, you know, this has given you, come back to me by the power of Christ. Come back to me.
I love this little fact here. This is for you, Joe. It says Pumpkinhead doesn't really resemble a pumpkin. Wow. That person really, they watched this movie. The name comes from the fact that summoning it involves digging up a corpse that's been buried in a pumpkin patch. So there you go. That's still, it's not working for you. You're not.
It's not working because if you're going to call it, I'm looking for it to fulfill Chekhov's gun, right? Like, so you know Chekhov's gun, right? If the gun is introduced,
right.
You know, if a gun is introduced in the first act, it will be shot before the play is over. So, like, if you're going to call someone a fucking pumpkin head, then they need to have a fucking pumpkin head. The headless horseman has no head. Do you know what I mean? Like, the headless horseman ain't got no head.
Oh, man. Okay, so this isn't going to become a yearly Halloween watch for you.
No, absolutely not. This is like the corpse flower. It will bloom once, and this is it. So it's not going to happen again.
I just thought you would kind of enjoy some of like the more, like the elements, of like the father and like, you know, going to the witch and...
I mean... You have a twisted sentimentality when it comes to horror films. You know,
this is true. I've not listener, been able to imbue that into
exactly.
You.
I mean, like again, listener, Joshua gets really choked up when he talks about The Fly.
Yeah,
you know,
I was just talking about that. Which I'll put the links to it. But Geekscape did a live Matt from Horror Movie Night hosted movies from the 30s to the 60s, and one of the films that he ended up watching, Marissa from the Jersey Ghouls had kind of jumped on and was talking about it, was The Fly, the original with Vincent Price. And so, of course, we got into talking about The Fly with Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis. And then I was again talking about, like, you know, the beautiful movie that it is. And I was like, where's Joe? Because he's just right
this
now.
This beautiful, tragic movie about AIDS.
Right. You know, and addiction, apparently. We did a whole conversation about addiction during that the live stream. I'll put the links up because it was really fun. And there was some really good commentary throughout the day. Lots of people kind of popping in and out to talk about it. But yeah, so The Fly. Yeah, exactly. I feel the same with this movie. I've seen this movie. I can't remember when I first watched it. I was definitely a kid. We rented it or got it from the store, you know, on VHS, rented it. I know I definitely watched it with my mom and the family, just like anything else. And I really liked it. I like the design on Pumpkinhead. I like the way he looks. He's kind of feline in a way. In some of the moments, he's got kind of like cat-like kind of features. I just think he looks kind of cute. You know, especially in this like picture.
You are crazy.
I mean, he's so cute. His eyes so sweet.
That's why you love this film, because Pumpkinhead looks like one of your cats.
He does in a way, especially when they're really like, when my friend brings her dog over.
You are nuts.
But no, but I really do like the design, and I like the story. I like that in the end, like, you know, he, instead of like, I mean, it's that thing, it's that radical forgiveness concept that I was talking about, like radical empathy. Like, can you forgive somebody that takes something away from you that is so valuable? Like, how do you go on, like, grief, how that plays, you know, such this massive like role in our life. And he's so motivated by vengeance. And then immediately regrets it. Like when he starts having to like experience the deaths of these teenagers, who, you know, for better or worse, it was an accident. It's not like that guy came there like, I'm going to run over a kid and kill some kid today. You know, it's clearly a horrible, tragic accident. Again, we see this in like Pet Sematary. You know, it's like, it's a terrible accident, and you have to figure out a way to like continue living and not like defy the laws of like in Pet Sematary, obviously he tries to bring his child back, and it's not, you know, it doesn't go well if you haven't seen Pet Sematary. And it, kind of in the same with this, like he immediately regrets like the choices he makes in a rash moment, but by then it's too late. He has to ride it out. And I just love how he and the monster start to look like each other. And then in the end, he becomes, you know, he's going to be the next. The next time we need a pumpkin head, we're going to dig up old Lance Henriksen, Lenny Henriksen. And he's going to be the one, which they did make sequels to this movie. I think there are three sequels. There's a comic book and a video game as well. The second one, Blood Wings, I think that's what it's called. Almost called it Red Wings, but that is something entirely.
I was going to say it. if you know, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Blood Wings, Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings, which I did see. That's interesting because it's sort of about like, sort of the Freddy Krueger thing of like what happens to like the children of people who commit a terrible act and them as well. It's everybody. There's lots of, lots of death and destruction in the sequel.
So you want to talk about?
We'll have that queued up the next time you're here, and we're gonna watch.
Please, I'm gonna walk in the door and you're gonna press play. So you want to talk about Tenuous Grasp, right? So, like, yes. I think,
sure.
Like, let's do that Fright School thing that we do, which is overthink a horror film. So let's. Since 2016, overthinking it. ruining it in a very specific way. I think what we're talking about here is concepts of restorative and transformative justice.
Ah, yes.
Right?
Yeah, because a sense, that is what Pumpkinhead is about. It's the warning,
Exactly. I mean, because for readers, and Joshua, please feel free to correct me at any point, but for the readers, for the listeners who don't know these terms, or the idea of the concept of restorative justice is the harm that is committed from one person to another, calling out the harm, having the ability to apologize, say you're sorry, and figuring out a way to make it better. But like the two parties come to that conclusion, right? Or they address it with the assistance of the mediator, but it's doing it within the community setting and without punitive, not being like, the intention is not to be punitive. It's to restore the harm in the community. Whereas like, I've actually been reading a book. I know.
I'm going to die.
The right gag, you are asphyxiating from how bad you're gagging.
What book though is it?
The book is called "We Will Not Cancel Us," and it is cool. By Adrienne Marie Brown. And
I've heard of that. I've not read it yet.
It's more of a pamphlet. I think it would qualify. Like Common Sense was a pamphlet, but it's a little book.
Okay. Well, go on with your little pamphlet. Tell us about your pamphlet.
One kidding. Of the concepts that Andrew Marie Brown talks about in the book is this idea of transformative justice, where restorative is great, but it doesn't. Transformative justice will ultimately figure out a way to address the reason why. So, if a man steals, I say a man because it's usually, if a man steals a purse, then a restorative justice is he finds a way to give back the purse and apologizes, but transformative justice will figure out a way, will get at the root of why he needed to steal the purse in the first place. Was it because he was hungry? Was it because he needed to feed his kids? The economic inequality and all of that. So, again, overthinking the film, we see those concepts kind of working themselves out here in this way. Like, the punishment ultimately is revenge for something, so for this grievous injury, the loss of his last family member, basically. And ultimately, the punitive aspect of that, he loses himself in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like in our current criminal justice system.
Everything. Yeah.
There's a dehumanization of all parties in the current version of criminal justice. And what I think that, in this essay, in this essay, I assert that Pumpkinhead is really calling for abolition.
Yeah, he just wants to stay resting. Like, he's happy where he, or she, they, I actually don't know the gender of Le Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
They are like, I am sleeping here, resting, and I gotta get up, and I gotta, like, stretch and grow and get all monstrified and looking good for the camera and go murder all these damn teenagers, and I just want to rest. Like, can't you all figure this out amongst yourselves? Jesus Christ. I'm speaking on behalf of Pumpkinhead. I'm the Metatron for Pumpkinhead.
Yes. You're the voice of Pumpkinhead.
I mean, I guess that's how I'd probably feel, you know, having to keep getting up and doing this. It got me through 4 movies, y'all. Like, can't figure this out. That's where we should have started, Joe. Like, why didn't you bring this up at the beginning instead of complaining that he didn't have a pumpkin for a head? This is
because
amazing.
Here's the thing. As I'm sitting here in this conversation with you, I'm like, well, what can we like? What can we really say about it? I mean, this is Thinner all over again. Really, right. This is just
hey.
Like.
That was a good conversation.
I know. Man. This is ending up being a really fun, good conversation. So.
We've brought up this. I like this transformative, restorative justice. You know, what does it look like for these people? I mean, obviously, he can't just come out and be like, oh, you killed my son. Like, man, I forgive you. And we got to move on like that. You know, I mean, I get like, obviously, it's a morality tale. This is, again, a tale about vengeance and about, you know, forgiveness and like. Or not, you know, not forgiving, you know, and being angry and choosing more death over grief and over being like, wow, this is fucking awful. And let me deal with the death of my son, go through those feelings, and then maybe decide if I'm still mad about it, you know, if I'm still angry, then I'll go chat up my girl Haggis and we'll figure this out then. But let me like think through it. Not let me drag his body over there right after.
And like, is he in like a potato sack? He's like in
right this burlap sack. You just tossed him in there. You know, like who? Like who's?
I mean,
really
you have to use what you have. I mean, again, this is a workroom. This is a workroom challenge.
Yeah, you got to deal with what you got to deal with.
Yeah, you know, body bag on a dime is the category of this runway.
I, you know, to your point, in the book, Horror Films of the 1980s, John Kenneth Muir, critic, called Pumpkinhead a meditation on vengeance, and that is surprising and rewarding for its rejection of vigilante justice. You know, so in the end, it's like this form of justice. You know, not transformative, certainly not restorative.
Punitive.
It's very punitive that it rejects that. And in the 80s, like the vengeance, like that kind of thing was in a lot of movies like that. You know, a lot of like big action films and such were, you know, about vengeance, you know, were about vigilante justice. I mean, not just the 80s. Obviously, there's plenty of that. But contextualizing this as a movie made in the late 80s, you know, it didn't kind of go with that theme as being a good thing. Like he doesn't in the end, like his son isn't resurrected by the demon. He is not made whole by what he's done. In fact, he's even more of a prisoner of it by the end, especially like becoming the next incarnation of it. So yeah. Oh my gosh. That was good. That was a fun little chat about Pumpkinhead, Joe. I wish that you'd liked it more. It is a weird movie.
Now, if the teens were black, I think they would have been less. I think he would have been. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm thinking about what you just said. I'm sorry. I knew you were doing your wrap up, but
yeah, no, that's all right. Because you like, I have no idea where you're going with this one. But go ahead. Let's see.
So, it's a rejection of vigilante justice, right? But like the people that he is seeking justice from, like seeking that retribution, are like people who are white or pass, right?
Okay.
So like, so, it's sure, only yeah. You know, oh, the poor Christian teens. Like who are affluent. Like again, like there's those markers there.
Right.
If this was, and again, it also kind of goes into that whole thing of like, who gets to have a childhood? Who gets to have a youthful indiscretion?
Right. Who gets to kill little boys with immunity?
On a whim, right? I Know What You Did Last Summer. Also, yeah. Never seen it, yeah. Right? Haven't seen it yet. But again, like these kids, youthful indiscretion, like who gets to write things off as a mistake?
Yeah.
As opposed
Cops.
To, yeah.
Otherwise, fuck off. No. Yeah. I mean, again, like in the context of these movies, we're talking about murder. So I don't know. But
yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot more to explore. I think Pumpkinhead is something that could be rebooted or kind of brought back and refined, especially now, especially thinking about those themes, thinking about the conversations we've had in pop culture about vengeance, about justice, you know, about, you know, the other things of like whose lives matter, whose lives don't, mm-hmm. you know, the what is history, what violence has history and the justice system ratified or not ratified.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Pumpkinhead is a great place to play with those sorts of conversations. But, you know, it remains to be seen. Alrighty. Yay. That was Pumpkinhead.
At another year.
Yeah, exactly. And another year. I always look forward to watching it though. So that's all right. Again, I'm not trying to take any of your joy away and you're not going to take Pumpkinhead from me. So it's okay.
I mean, is Pumpkinhead worse than Inside? No.
Right. Yeah, nobody's cutting, but Pumpkinhead is not cutting any babies out of people. So with scissors, yeah. So we can still keep that in.
Was Inside more compelling? Yes.
Ah, well, that but, is a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
All right.
Joshua, you were going to give folks a opportunity to win some cool stuff, right?
Yeah, I am. And I'm definitely going to get to that. Sorry, I was distracted. Got some things happening. Got cats down here. Phone is doing weird stuff.
There's a lot happening outside of the frame of this video, I bet.
Yeah, there is. Okay. Yes, so I did for Halloween. I thought it would be very fun to give away some stuff here from the Wes Craven Memorial Library, starting with a signed copy of Elvira's memoir. And I also have a really cool, where'd it go? Bookmark. You can hear that it's still in its plastic. It's like a lenticular Elvira bookmark. I also have a comic book, Elvira Meets Vincent Price. And then there'll be some other stuff from different, some friends of ours, like Knee High Horror. I've got some stickers and other cool stuff from them. They have got some bookmarks and such from Cavity Colors. It's a fun little grab bag.
Little grab bag pack.
Stuff. So what you need to do, dear listener, in order to win is make sure you are following us on Instagram. This is going to be all on Instagram. So follow us on Instagram. I'm going to make a post that'll have a picture of what you can win. Or there will be a post by the time this is out. That'll be a picture of the things that are going to be included. So you're going to make sure you like that post. You're going to tag a friend in the comments. And yeah, maybe share the post, you know, share the love of horror with your family and friends who enjoy horror, who might want to listen to Joe and I gab about it. And I will do a kind of a random thing, you know, blah, blah, pick somebody and you'll find out November 2nd. So you'll have a couple days to join in starting today, Halloween. So check us out on Instagram at Fright School to get your chance to win some swag.
Awesome.
Yay! Yeah. All righty, Joe. Well, that's it. That's a wrap.
That's it. Goodbye forever.
Years. Yes, goodbye forever. No, I adore you, and I will talk to you soon, dear listener. Thank you, as always. Good night.
Good night. Fright School is produced by Joshua Napier and Joe Farron.
Our intro was edited by Davy Boy Productions.
Our logo was designed by Jamie Channel Guzman.
Episodes are edited and engineered by Joe Farron.
Fright School is produced in terrifyingly beautiful San Diego, California.
Oh,